really good one to hear about, especially right now at this time of year. And like you mentioned a really good point there. Even if you don't need it right now, that's something that you want to have on hand. You want to have around.
Yep, that's for sure. And one of the things I'd mention is, you know, remember, we're going to have Terry live on WFHR on Monday, June 1st and June 8th at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
It's going to be some, you know, surprise, maybe gifts or giveaways or something. We're working on details. But, yeah, we're really excited about that, and we're happy to have, you know, yourself, James, and the great radio station there working with us on this program.
It's a partnership. We're a team, you guys and us, and we love working with you, man, and I love talking with you every chance we get. Stephen Affey, thank you so much for joining us. Again, remind people that you can check out more at Family Natural Foods, familynaturalfood.com, or their Facebook page. You can catch them live there and find out more about the Terry Naturally presentation and take and make box themes and all this other fun stuff. Thanks so much for joining us, gang.
Thank you, James. It was a pleasure.
And we'll talk again real soon. Again, a huge thank you to Stephen and Affey from Family Natural Foods for joining us. We appreciate the time, as always. Coming up in part two of Morning Magazine, we're going to talk with Christopher Guest from Encourage, along with Christy Router Aggie and Erica Sherman from the Wood County Health Department, all coming up right here on Morning Magazine, AM 1320. This is WFHR.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case,
my arm is fine.
Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
I want to change some things.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
I want more of my neighbors to have access to health care.
I want to change what I see around here.
United Way is creating real, lasting change where you live by focusing on the building blocks of a better life, education, income, and health.
I just want to see more smiles on my sidewalks.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. For more, visit United Way at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For today, look for increasing cloud cover. We'll have high temperatures working up into the lower part of the 60s. Then for tonight, cloudy skies with rain likely, possibly some thunderstorms as well, lows to around 48. For your Thursday, still a chance for some showers there, highs in the upper 60s, close to 70. Then dry, sunny conditions in store for your Friday in the upper 60s. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Michael. We appreciate those updates right there. Looking at the temperatures in your neighborhood, it's 51 in Stevens Point, 53 in Marshfield and Wausau, 55 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two.
And welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine Part 2 for this May 13th, 2020. Your host, James J. Maloff here. And I'm joined right now by Christopher Guest. He is on the board of directors for Encourage. And along with him, he has brought Christopher Router Aggie and Erica Sherman from Wood County Health Department. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I appreciate everybody joining us. And, Chris, it's always nice of you to bring some friends with. We appreciate it. We got some real fun things and important things to talk about. But before we get to those, just want to ask how everybody is doing. Chris, how are you and yours doing to start off?
We're doing okay. Trying to do our best to keep on keeping on and follow the guidance and, listen to the science and do what needs to be done so we can all come through this, happy and healthy and see it through to the other side.
Good to hear, man. Christy, how about you?
Yeah, doing well here and keeping busy at the health department, as I'm sure many people are well aware of. But we're excited to be able to give you guys an update today.
Appreciate that, and thank you again for joining us. And Erica, everything going good with you?
All is good here.
Good to hear. Very, very good to hear. Thank you. It's what we wanted to know. That's some of the best news we're going to get today, is hearing how our friends and our listeners are doing and our guests are doing and everything. So, Chris, I want to let you go ahead and get to the introductions to kick things off here.
Yeah, we were so happy that the health department was able to join us. And Christy Rauter-Egge gets to wear two hats today. One is in her position, of course, with the Wood County Health Department. And the other is in her position on the Encourage Board of Directors as well. So we thought it was a good opportunity to take this time. We recognize there's just a lot of information coming at people, and there's a lot of misinformation out there, too. And both of those lead to questions quite often. And we at Encourage wanted to make sure that we can continue to do what we've always tried to do, which is to help inform the community, to partner with organizations within the community and connect people together. So we wanted to take this time, our monthly slot, and have this conversation with the health department and get some information out to people about where we're at as a community, what's happened thus far, and answer some of the kind of frequently asked questions that seem to be popping up more regularly.
Yeah, and at this point in time, you know, it's always important, and especially, you know, we take information very serious around here. It's our game. It's what we do. But right now in this day and age with what's going on, you hit it on the head, man. There is so much misinformation out there. It is that much more important for us to be able to take these kind of moments and talk to people who, to be blunt, know what they're talking about. And we thank you so much for our friends at Encourage and setting this up and getting a chance to talk to our good friends over at the Wood County Health Department. Any chance we get, we appreciate. We know that the National Guard just assisted Wood County Health Department with providing community testing. Can we talk about that? Start there.
Sure. So last Friday, May 8th, and Saturday, May 9th, we were assisted in doing some community testing in Wisconsin Rapids for individuals who were experiencing symptoms of COVID-19. In addition to that, we also opened up testing to frontline workers that may or may not have symptoms. And so we got a great response. Tested a total of 267 people last weekend. So
it's really good to hear. That sounds good. And did everything go pretty smoothly, or as smoothly as could be expected?
Yeah, everything went really smoothly. I think that we are pretty well prepared here. We have plans in place when it comes to emergency preparedness, and we practice those plans. So I think that we were as prepared as we could be.
Were there any surprises isn't the right word, but surprises as far where you did you get more people than you expected, or that sort of thing?
I think we got about what we were expecting. We were pleased with our turnout overall. We certainly had more tests available, but now those tests can go to other community sites, and if we determine that we need to do this again, we would have those available to us as well.
Well, I feel like almost everything in life is at a bit of a standstill in many ways until we have a strategic form of testing. And so all the more testing we can do, the better. Is that something that you guys in the health industry are also seeing and feeling?
Of the importance of widespread testing?
Yes, and having a strategic plan for that.
Yeah, definitely. We do know that widespread testing is important for us to better understand what we're dealing with and what's happening in our local communities when it comes to the disease. So we do need that data, and we need to work with our local healthcare systems to make sure that they have the capacity to increase their testing, which they have shown that they can at this point as well. So we're just here to kind of boost that and provide increased and better, easier access to the testing.
And I appreciate that answer so much, because that really touches on something that we were kind of talking about earlier, in correct information and being, people being able to trust their sources. And when it comes to our health department, our CDC, any of these industries, they are not politically motivated. They are not motivated by a business or any of these kind of things. It's data. It's statistics that you're passing on. And data and statistics don't have an R or a D in front of their name. They don't have a business symbol in front of their name. It's information, and it's correct information, which is very, very vital right now, that people are understanding that and where they can go and trust for their sources. And speaking of that data and the numbers, do you have some numbers we can go over with the most recent National Guard assisted testing?
Yeah, well, we can give, so we'll give numbers for our county as a whole. So to date, we have a total of 1,020 tests that have been done in our county, and four of those tests have resulted in positives. We have one of the four positive cases is currently symptomatic and is isolated at home. Two of those cases, which have been cases we've had for a while, are recovered, and one of the four remains asymptomatic. That asymptomatic patient is also isolating at home and being monitored for symptoms.
It's
part of our job at the local health department is doing contact tracing, and anytime we have cases that are positive, we connect with those cases twice a day to monitor their symptoms, and also connect with any of their close contacts. So the idea that the importance of that is that we're able then to keep those folks away from other people and essentially prevent the disease from spreading. And so we have contact tracing that we've been completing, and contacts have been notified from our National Guard testing.
I appreciate that, Erica. And now, for those that don't know what asymptomatic means.
Oh, sure. So asymptomatic means that they don't currently have any symptoms present.
Thank you. I'm sure that the majority of our audience might have known that, but just in case there are anybody out there that might not and everything, that haven't had the chance to talk to you guys before and had to learn that what that means, like somebody like me, maybe. So I want to also let people know, as far as the tests and those numbers that you got, again, were not surprising, maybe, but were those the numbers that you kind of expected, or were you... Were you prepared for that that intake right there?
We were definitely prepared for positive results. Were we surprised? I'm not sure we really knew what to expect.
Yeah, yeah. That's, and
I mean, that was the whole purpose of doing this, to get more data to know if we have more positive cases out there.
That's why I'm curious, because this is such a fluid situation, such a situation that there is no playbook for. I wonder oftentimes, from the perspective of you guys in that industry, or from coming to it from where you are, if there is something like that, if there is going into it an expectation or perspective or anything like that. So that actually speaks to, I think, a really good theme here of what we're talking about, that the sharing information. It's nice for people to know that kind of approach a bit. Another thing.
Yeah, and I guess our approach is always to prepare for the worst, but hope for the best. So
yeah, I feel like that's a safe way of looking at it. I feel like that honestly, as a person, as a citizen, I mean, that's something that makes me feel more comfortable. I would rather that. I don't want to stress you guys out or anything, but I'd rather you guys be prepared for the worst than have it to be better than that, than vice versa. And that kind of leads into our next question here. And this is one that is coming up with everybody. And everybody has wondered and thought at one point or another that, not only why we didn't just do this from the start as far as widespread testing, but why widespread testing is so important. And I'm not sure which of you would like to touch on that or anything, but basically why widespread testing is important and why we didn't just do it from the start.
Yeah, well, Erica mentioned earlier on the importance of testing and why we had moved towards the National Guard with the National Guard community site. Is it's really important for us to understand what we're truly dealing with in our local communities. And to Erica's point earlier, we didn't really know what to expect, and so by having having testing, by having people get tested, it gives us a much better picture. So we need to be, we need the data to be able to show whether or not it's safe to reopen our communities. And prior to having the National Guard testing, our testing rates were relatively low compared to the entire state of Wisconsin, and as well as many northern regions, which is why a lot of these community testing sites are happening, so that we're able to feel very confident in our process, our next processes and procedures to open up. We know that, you know, early on, healthcare providers were directed to only be testing critically ill people and healthcare workers with symptoms, and that was, you know, guidance that was coming down from the Centers for Disease Control. All others, I mean, you may remember this from a lot of our press releases, but we were telling folks to stay home if they had symptoms and to monitor those symptoms. You know, barring that they weren't critically, you know, taking it turn for the worse or getting worse. Of course, then we wanted them to go to their healthcare providers. This was all done, this messaging was done because testing supplies were limited at that time, and that's why widespread testing wasn't done from the start. We also had limitations with PPE, which is personal protective equipment. That was limited at, with our, and especially at our healthcare systems, and it still is. There still is gaps in the true needs and versus what the supply is that we can currently get. So recommendations to stay home were a tool we had at the time, given our health, which gave our healthcare systems a chance to ramp up testing and prepare for a potential surge. And thankfully, a surge hasn't happened yet, but we know we're not out of the clear. We do feel that a surge has been prevented due to the safer at home order.
And I would like to touch on that in just a second, but I do think that it's key. And again, great answer. Thank you so much for that. Right now, people in general want to be able to blame somebody or point the finger or anything like that. And I feel like you should be able to have two thoughts in your head at once, that you can be frustrated with the situation, but understand that everybody is frustrated with the situation. Probably nobody more than that than you guys in the healthcare industry. And you can only, again, it's one of those situations where there was no playbook for this. So you're adapting as in the current situation the best you can. Keeping that in mind, I think, I think is really important right now, because unfortunately, going back to what we were talking about people getting the correct information and seeking the right information, they get discouraged sometimes when they think about these things and think, well, why weren't we doing this sooner? Or why wasn't this going on and that kind of thing? And it's very easy to play armchair quarterback on Monday morning. It's a lot different in the moment. And in the moment right now, everybody, wherever you are, whatever position you are, whatever job you are, even if you're a retired citizen, we're all doing the best we can in this moment. And I think that's something to keep in mind when we're talking about this stuff.
Right. Doing the best we can with the information that we have available to us as well. Obviously, we learn more about the disease and the disease process every day, too, as more research is done and we can make better decisions.
Yeah, everybody needs to be held accountable for their actions, and I don't mean anything like just pushing that aside. I do think that that comes with some context, though. And in this situation, context means a lot. Yeah. It really does in general, but it really does in this situation in particular. And you mentioned something else that comes up a lot and segues us perfectly into the next subject of why safer at home matters and why it's working.
Yeah, so that's something, too, folks have been hearing a lot about, right, is the safer at home and the flattening the curve, all of those terms. But safer at home matters more than anything at this time based on what we know, like Erica said, at what we currently know, because we don't have a lot of the answers. And we have an example of Spanish flu that we've been using a lot in public health because it's really one of the only pandemics of similarity that we can compare, and when we've been doing a lot of our planning and preparedness planning from years prior, we've never been in this boat before, and so we know that physical distancing is the best way to reduce the spread of COVID-19, and we know there's currently no vaccine, and the treatment protocols are still early in the trial phases, so for folks who listen to maybe the national news, it seems like every day there's something new coming down the pike that they're trying and, you know, brings hope. But really, those things are still very early on. And we need to have a better understanding of the disease process and how it works so that those who are sick can be treated, and so that we can continue to mitigate the disease, you know, in our communities. And because of the learning that's happening as we're going, that's why we need to have safer at home, and that's why we need to really have people reduce their amount of contact with others.
I'd like to continue this subject on the other end of this break, but great feedback. Appreciate that very much. We're again speaking with Christopher Gesch from the board of directors over at Encourage, along with Christy Rattaraggi. She is also with the board of directors and on the Wood County Health Department, and Erica Sherman with the Wood County Health Department. Did I get that right, gang? Did I get all that right? All right. We'll take our break real quick. We'll come back with more with them on Morning Magazine, AM 1320 WFHR.
The key slides into the ignition. The engine rumbles to life. My hand grips the throttle. New gear for my ride. The road, my invitation. The sound, the smell, the exhilaration. I am one with the bike. And the car in front of me suddenly turns in my lane. Motorcycles are everywhere, but too often go unnoticed. Please, always look twice, be alert, and share the road with motorcycles at all times. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship for refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For today, look for increasing cloud cover. We'll have high temperatures working up into the lower part of the 60s. Then for tonight, cloudy skies with rain likely, possibly some thunderstorms as well, lows to around 48. For your Thursday, still a chance for some showers there, highs in the upper 60s, close to 70. Then dry, sunny conditions in store for your Friday in the upper 60s. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll.
54 in Stevens Point and Marshfield, 51 in Wausau, 55 here in Wisconsin Rapids, where you've got Morning Magazine. We're again joined by Christopher, Christy, and Erica. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. When we left, we were talking about safer at home and the matter of it, why it matters and why it works. Can we kind of piggyback from that and just answer people's simple question, why can't I just go back to my normal life? Like, please let me go back to my normal life. Why can't we do that, and why it's important that we hold off on that for now?
Yeah, and I obviously certainly wish we could go back to normal life, but right now we're still under the current governor's order, the Safer at Home order, which extends through May 26th. And we do have plans in place. We don't want people to be quarantined at home forever. Obviously, we want businesses to get back to work, and we want people to be able to go back to their lives. But we want to be able to do that safely. And so from the governor's office, the Badger Bounce Back Plan was created and includes some metrics for when the state can start to kind of turn the dial and open up. And as of yesterday, we're actually meeting 5 of those 6 metrics to move the state into phase 1, which would allow us to further loosen restrictions.
That's very hopeful. That's something that we can look forward to or be hopeful about. That's really good.
Yeah, it is definitely. It's a good thing. We certainly don't want to loosen restrictions very quickly because we don't want to see us go backwards and have to go back into a full-blown safer at home. But in order for us to reopen, the state also requires that testing be more widespread, that healthcare systems are prepared for a surge if that were to occur, and that we have the ability to do widespread contact tracing.
And that's a term I definitely want to touch on. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Please continue.
Yeah, no, and I was just going to allude to the fact that Christy mentioned that earlier, the contact tracing, and that is a super important part because those who are identified as contacts to positive cases can then be isolated and monitored to prevent the spread to others, and I think that is one of the most critical pieces here.
And I appreciate so much that you guys bring that up because that's one of those more terms that's come up in recent weeks that people aren't necessarily sure what it means and everything. So kind of just describing it for them a little bit and letting them understand why that's important. I appreciate you touching on that.
Sure, yeah. And we feel as a county health department that we currently have 10 employees who are trained to do contact tracing, so we feel pretty good about where we're at, feel pretty prepared for, you know, more positive cases to roll in. And we also feel that the health systems are ready and that testing access has definitely improved to the level that we're content with that.
We never have enough time with you guys, especially when Chris brings in extra friends and everything. So with our last 5 minutes here, I want you guys to be able to take the conversation where you want to. What would you like to talk about? We could let people know about what Order 36 is or any of the talking points you guys might have.
I think touching a little bit on Order number 36 would be helpful. That's the most recent order the governor released as of Monday, I believe it was. Tuesday. One of the two. Monday.
All the days bleed together now. All the days bleed together.
Some days I'm like, what day is it?
Yeah.
So that order reduces some restrictions on some businesses. So standalone strip mall-based retail stores with interested to the outside may offer in-person shopping for up to 5 customers at a time. Up until this point, you know, those businesses had to be closed. And so I think the key here is this is about local businesses reopening, local small businesses, and businesses specifically that sell goods, not businesses that offer services. So I think there can be that's a really nice delineation to what the order is getting at with this. And so there are recommendations, of course, for what these businesses should be doing, including having face coverings for their staff and customers, you know, recommending that they encourage face coverings, and also that they're keeping their number of employees limited and continuing to or staying up on cleaning and disinfecting, as well as marking where customers should stand so that they aren't gathering all in one area. There's quite a bit of guidance that's available within the order, so definitely look for the Safer at Home order. We have information on our website about the most recent order. And then there has also been some information that's come out from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and some publications that have been provided. And these publications, we are really pushing out to the public around, especially the industry-specific publications, that for those businesses that can be open, being using them right now in your process to be open and making sure that you're doing everything you can to keep your employees safe. And then businesses that are not open yet, so those businesses that are providing services rather than goods, that they're being prepared and taking a look at them and reviewing them ahead of time and going through what the recommendations are to make sure that once the orders are released that they can open, that they're ready to go. We definitely just want to give the advice for businesses to, you know, make sure you let your employees know if they're sick or if they have any symptoms. They should not be reporting to work. That's really nothing new in the world of public health. We've been talking about that for years, that with any sickness and just the nature of COVID even more, that people who are sick should not be coming to work. We should be limiting business travel whenever possible. People should be working remotely or having virtual meetings, doing work-from-home arrangements, and ensuring that employees have access to hand sanitizer, hand washing, gloves, face masks, and things of that nature when appropriate, as well as customers, if and when it makes sense.
I appreciate that input, that insight, too. And are there other things that those businesses that are, you know, waiting to open and looking forward to opening as soon as they can, that they can know so that they are able to, you know, to be ahead of the game here a little bit so that they can open their doors as soon as they're allowed to and able to?
Yeah, there definitely are. And that's where being proactive and being ahead of the game, taking some time to review some of those Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation publications, as well as the state has put out some guidelines. In addition, those specific sector guidelines, just being prepared. That's even everything from like the farmers market looking to open and what can be done right now to prepare for that opening so that it's safe, but also so that we have some normalcy in our life as we begin to reopen. That people get excited about some of those things. I know people are excited about the businesses that have now been able to open up.
If people have follow-up questions, if they want to know where they can get homemade masks or any other information about the subjects we've been talking about today, how can they find out more about any of this?
Sure. So general questions regarding COVID-19 as well as the need for homemade masks can be directed to the United Way's 211. You can either call, dial 211 on your telephone or text COVID-19 to 211-211.
I cannot thank you all enough for the time. I know how busy you are. We appreciate so much all the great work that you're doing for our community and so many of us out there. Keep up the good work. Stay strong. And Chris, one of these days you and I are going to have that theater show where we just talk theater all the half an hour when we get through the end of this, okay? But we'll have that coming up. But thank you for bringing the ladies in. We appreciate you.
Nice to talk with you.
Yeah, good talking with you. And again, Christy and Erica, thank you so much for what you're doing and keep up the good work and stay strong. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A really, really good conversation. I appreciate the time so much. Again, Christopher Gesch and Courage, his board of directors, joining us along Christy Router, Eggy, and Erica Sherman from Wood County Health Department. Appreciate them being on the air with us along with Stephen and Affy from